Good morning, this is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. The Sri Lankan separatists who kidnapped an American couple last week and threatened them with death appear to be relenting now. They had said that they would kill Stanley Allen this morning and then his wife unless granted a $2 million ransom and the release of political prisoners. However, word reaching their Ohio Congressman Chalmers Wiley early today does sound encouraging.
I received a call this morning about 6:30 from the State Department suggesting that the Tamil separatists had announced from Madras, which is the capital of Tamil Nadu, a province in southern India, that appeals by relatives and Indira Gandhi would affect the release of the Allens. They haven't formally been released yet, but the separatists have said that they would be released, and that $2 million in gold was going to be foregone, but that they did want the release of the 20 prisoners. And that's a little difficult because some of the prisoners don't want to be released, apparently, to the Tamil separatists. On the other hand, the government of Sri Lanka has indicated they would grant amnesty to the terrorists.
So you see at least the makings of a resolution of this problem?
I think it's good news on a Monday morning. I just also got a call from security in the State Department, and they said that there was reason to be very optimistic about it.
Congressman Wiley and the fate of the Allens. Congressman Wiley is in Washington. In the American Embassy in Sri Lanka itself, the optimism over the Allens' fate is more restrained.
Well, I don't know if I'd use the word optimistic. I'd use the word hopeful. I think that describes the mood in the embassy here. We have an unconfirmed report, an unsubstantiated report, that the group that took the couple is planning to release them sometime before midnight tonight, Sri Lanka time. We have not been able to verify that report. We have heard it from several different sources, but it's an oral report being relayed to us third hand, and I don't know how much faith to place in it.
There were ballots and bullets in the Philippines today, but that long-sought election did come off. Wyatt Andrews reports from Manila.
Millions of Filipinos voted today to elect a national legislature. It will, for the first time in 12 years, try to share control of the Philippines with authoritarian President Ferdinand Marcos. It is an uphill struggle. The political party controlled by Marcos runs the slate of candidates completely on his shirt tail and will likely win a majority of seats. Imelda Marcos, the president's wife, says the party will win close to all of the seats.
I think this is going to be a landslide, having campaigned around and seen the reaction of the people.
The election has produced violence. From murder to bloody noses, zealous supporters on both sides have turned this into a Wild West show. Communist rebels have tried to shut down the elections in remote areas, and one major faction of the Marcos opposition is boycotting the election. It is led by Butz Aquino, the brother of slain exile leader Benigno Aquino.
Marcos will probably allow anywhere between 10 to 20% only, and that is not democracy as far as we're concerned.
Marcos needs the political credibility these elections could bring. He is trying to earn the confidence of the world's banking community so that a package of loans, now delayed, might help salvage the Philippines' crippled economy. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Manila.
When things start closing in on me, I unwind with a long drive on an open road.
If you've got the road, we've got the car. The all-new Nissan 200SX hatchback. Every crisp line tells you this fuel-injected dream was built to run.
Sunlight bounces off the hood, trees whiz by, and life is okay.
The 200SX XE model lets you unwind in style. Five smooth speeds, rugged wide radios, pop-up headlights. Inside, you control a powerful six-speaker digital stereo with optional cassette and full instrumentation. There's even a vocal warning system. Your 200SX is major motion in a hurry.
When I'm behind the wheel, I come alive.
Come alive.
See the all-new Nissan 200SX only at your Datsun dealer.
Well, the Russians still aren't coming. The latest from Moscow on that this morning in Mark Phillips.
Soviet Olympic Committee Chairman Marat Gramov called a news conference today to explain the Soviet decision not to go to Los Angeles and to answer the question, is the decision final? The answer through an interpreter, It is.
This decision of ours is irrevocable.
The Russians continue to argue that conditions for their athletes in Los Angeles would have been intolerable, that anti-Soviet groups were planning to demonstrate against them, otherwise hassle them, and even drug them or brainwash them into defecting. Not only that, but this was all part of a greater plan by the White House. For that reason, the Soviets say any promises by the Los Angeles organizers, by the International Olympic Committee, or even by President Reagan are worthless. IOC President Juan Antonio Samaranch is still scheduled to visit Moscow later this week, and the Soviets say they will meet with him. That's if, of course, after today's announcement, Samaranch still intends to come. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Moscow.
Los Angeles Olympics organizer Peter Uberoth got up in the middle of this morning to listen to the Soviet official in Moscow, and he was disappointed in those charges about drugging and abducting.
That's an insult, I think, to the American people and American sports people, the people of the United States, and that's inexcusable.
Iraq staged two more missile attacks on ships near the Karg Island oil terminal in the Persian Gulf last night. The Iranian tanker Tabriz was set aflame, joining a Saudi supertanker, which is burning once more following a similar attack last week. The second ship hit last night is a Greek tanker, badly damaged, but at least not on fire. 16 New England utility companies must decide today whether to adopt a refinancing plan for the stalled Seabrook nuclear project in New Hampshire. The owners will vote on a bailout plan that uses their combined credit ratings to attract investors to complete the plant. Without the new investments, the chief owner, the Public Service Company of New Hampshire, may go bankrupt. Time now is 7 past the hour.
Looking for a mortgage?
Yes, we are.
Imperial Savings can come up with a home loan that's exactly what you want.
Really?
At the lowest interest rate they've got.
It should be adjustable.
With an interest cap.
And a payment cap.
And it should be assumable.
Imperial's got it.
Great!
It's Imperial's tomorrow mortgage.
But we need it today.
Of course. You qualify today, get the money in your dream home, and be able to borrow again
tomorrow.
You've got it.
To add a room.
Sure.
Buy a boat?
Sure. And you can borrow then at the prevailing interest rate without having to qualify again.
But what if we decide on a fixed rate? Loan.
Imperial has a fixed rate loan that's first rate.
How's that work?
Your rate is locked in for the life of the loan, and you can borrow up to $150,000 at a rate that's tough to beat.
Question?
Just call 1-800-CHECK-NOW, and Imperial will answer all your questions.
That was 1-800-
C-H-E-K-N-O-W.
T-H-A-N-K-S.
Tomorrow begins today. Imperial Savings.
Member FSLIC, an equal opportunity lender.
All three Democratic candidates knew the way to San Jose in advance of the California June 5th primary.
We're all public leaders, we're all politicians, and we're going to come here and essentially say what we think you want to hear. The question is, who do you trust? Who do you believe?
This is Ned Potter. All three Democrats came to San Jose to ask the endorsement of the Mexican American Political Association. In the end, the group voted to trust Mondale, but it did so by a tiny margin, 46% Mondale, 45% for Jesse Jackson. Gary Hart got 9% and again fails to show appeal among minority voters. Still, Hart can expect to command the support of many of California's young up-and-coming professionals. And the Hispanic endorsement of Mondale, while helpful to him, is much less than the 80% vote he got from Hispanics in Texas. This is good news for Jackson. His rainbow coalition has often failed to be anything other than black. All three campaigners were roundly cheered for attacking President Reagan's policy in Central America, and a Reagan supporter coming to speak for him was roundly booed. Ned Potter, CBS News, San Jose, California.
There was an explosion in a crowded shopping area in Athens, Greece this morning. 18 people were hurt. Nobody was killed. The Supreme Court has cleared the way for the imprisonment of the Reverend Sung Young Moon, sentenced to 18 months for tax evasion. The High Court rejected his appeal. The White House is bracing for an onslaught today. Michael Jackson's coming to the South Lawn to kick off a commercial he's made against drunk driving. It's the toughest ticket the South Lawn has had in a long time. 10 minutes past the hour.
Now a message from Apple Computers.
Apple Computer is having a sale on a legendary Apple IIe. And here in the studio to tell us about it is the inventor of the Apple II, Apple's legendary, Steve Wozniak. Steve, one thing you're known for besides inventing the Apple II is being unusually shy. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you could tell us what it was like, Steve, to invent a personal computer so versatile it can run over 10,000 software programs.
It was hard.
It was hard. Okay. Now, Steve, about Apple's special offer, the Apple IIe business system. An Apple IIe with 128K of internal memory, two disk drives, and a profile hard disk that can store up to 2,400 pages of information. Any comments?
Great.
Great. It is really great, especially since Apple is selling the Apple IIe business system, your brainchild, for a suggested retail price of under $3,000.
They're what?
The Apple IIe Business System, $29.95.
You know how long I worked on that?